Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, to your health, they may not be any less unpleasant, but Blanchard Valley Health System now has a way to make mammograms less uncomfortable, removing one more barrier that keeps many women from the care they need. Also this morning, the total solar eclipse is now less than a month away. As we continue our countdown, WTOL 11 Chief Meteorologist Chris Vickers describes what will happen on April 8th, other than the obvious, and the likelihood that we'll actually be able to see it. And remember the old slogan, it's not just for breakfast anymore? It's true, and we have some fresh ideas using fresh orange juice for National Nutrition Month. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. So a rematch of the last presidential election in the next presidential election, but that is not the big political story today. I guess the House is going to vote on the bill today that would potentially ban TikTok in the U.S. That's one of the big political stories. But even that is not the biggest political story of the day. It's not the president and the former president clinching the nomination. It's not the TikTok bill. It's this. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has announced a short list when it comes to his running mate on the independent presidential ticket. I don't know if you've been paying attention to RFK Jr. Yesterday was reported that Mr. Kennedy has been in talks with former NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as well as former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse Ventura. Can you imagine either of those as vice president? Kennedy confirmed that the two were at the top of his list for potential running mates, and said specifically that he has been speaking with Aaron Rodgers pretty continuously for the past month. So it appears that Aaron Rodgers has the inside track. I mean, most quarterbacks, when they retire, go on to the broadcast booth or, you know, something like that. Maybe they become coaches. Aaron Rodgers may want to become vice president. I don't know. We'll see where that goes, but that is the big political story of the day. We mentioned the TikTok bill. House is going to vote today on that bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S. unless it divests itself of its Chinese ownership. Meanwhile, in the state of New York, they're looking at decriminalizing adultery. I saw this on the Newswire yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. According to the state penal code in New York State, adultery is still a Class B misdemeanor in the 21st century. Since 1972, it says 13 people have actually been charged with this, and five have been convicted. The assemblyman in New York legislature who introduced the bill to repeal and decriminalize the act of adultery in New York calls it an archaic piece of law. But apparently New York is not the only state that has one of these laws on the books. I don't know if Ohio does, but it's very hard-hitting things. While they are worried about Chinese influence in TikTok on Capitol Hill, they're worried about very important things in the state of New York. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Big news yesterday, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety announced that nearly all driving automation systems are unsafe. Major Auto Safety Group report says most hands-free driving systems are unsafe. The IIHS says nearly all of the 14 systems that they tested, 11 of them received poor safety ratings, two were rated marginal, and only one was rated as acceptable. And this is important because this is the Insurance Institute, and insurance companies take this data and use it to factor into the rates that they charge for individuals. So if you have one of these features on your car, these hands-free driving systems, Tesla's is the most famous because they call it autopilot, and the implication is that you don't have to do anything. The car is going to drive itself, and that's not really the case. Other manufacturers do have similar systems, hands-free systems, and they advertise these all the time. Maybe you've seen the commercials for the hands-free driving systems, but none of the systems that are on the market receive a rating of good or anything better than that. The president of the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, David Harkey, says the problem is most systems do not include adequate measures to prevent misuse and to keep drivers from losing focus on what's happening on the road. So that's their big concern. What else is going on in the world? Here is something that I will probably comfort you if you are the type of person who is easily distracted. Are you the type of person who is easily distracted? Squirrel! Researchers at Brown University have discovered that being easily distracted does not necessarily indicate low intelligence. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. They did this study where they asked participants to perform tests where they would observe moving dots in different colors and try to find the patterns in the dots. So you had to concentrate on this. If you are the type of person easily distracted, this would be a very difficult test. They discovered two brain regions which help us filter out noise when focusing on a particular task. When people talk about the limitations of the mind, they often put it in terms of humans just don't have the mental capacity or humans lack computing power. This, according to lead author Harrison Ritz from Brown University, is that it is not that our brains are too simple, but instead that our brains are really complicated. We're trying to focus on more than one thing at a time. And this was what leads us to be easily distracted. The research is intended on helping those with ADHD, but for anyone who is easily distracted, you know, take heart. It's not that you are have a low intelligence. It's quite the opposite. Your brain is doing too many things at one time. You have a complicated brain. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Sometimes I've been told that I am easily distracted, so naturally I noticed that. Now, where was I? speaking of intelligence and work issues, research from Rutgers and NYU suggests that a college degree is still worth it in the long run. There's been a lot of talk in recent years about the amount of college debt that students are racking up, whether it's really worth it. And of course, all of the complications this year with the new FAFSA forms and all of that leading some people to just throw up their hands and say, well, maybe I just won't go to college. But it is still worth it in the long run, according to this analysis. They examined the financials of 5.8 million Americans and found that over the course of a lifetime, college graduates still earn more than those who don't graduate from college. The co-author of the study for Rutgers and New York University. Now, keep in mind, it's a university study that says going to university is still a good thing. So there is that. But they say our cost-benefit analysis finds that on average, a college degree offers better returns than the stock market in terms of increased income. However, there are significant differences among college majors. Engineering and computer science degrees offer the greatest returns. Degrees in education and the humanities tend to be less lucrative. So if a student has decided to pursue a major with a lower return, they may want to consider pursuing additional training or education to improve their labor market prospects. So, but the long and short of it is that a college degree is still worth it, even in this day and age. And how about this? Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, we have a new world record to tell you about. 35-year-old Dmytro Shurinsky has a pretty unusual talent that has landed him in the Guinness Book. He is 35 years old from Ukraine, broke the Guinness record for heaviest vehicle pulled by the beard. You heard that right. The heaviest vehicle pulled by the beard. He apparently drug a 5,687-pound minibus using only his beard. It didn't come without some trial and error, it says here. Mr. Hurunsky's previous attempt back in 2019 ended with him pulling out all of his beard hairs, ripped his beard out of his face. Woo, that's painful. I would think that after you attempt that once and you pull your beard out, you would say, well, maybe I'll look at it breaking another record. Maybe this one isn't for me, but he's tried again, and now he has succeeded. So you might wonder, how does one add muscle to their beard? He says that in the past 3.5 years since his first attempt, he grew his beard longer and then has experimented with different ways to braid his beard in order to make it as strong and rope-like as possible. Well, there you go. Something to aspire to be sure. There you go. Kids, don't try this at home. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly sunny skies today, a high around 70. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 50. Ohio's primary election is next Tuesday, and Republican Governor Mike DeWine has made an endorsement in the U.S. Senate race.
DeWine announcing he and his wife, Fran, are endorsing Matt Dolan for U.S. Senate. He chose Dolan over his current Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, and Trump-endorsed businessman, Bernie Moreno. The winner of that Republican primary will take on incumbent Sherrod Brown in November. I'm Andrew Kinsey.
There are several local races on the ballot as well, including Hancock County Sheriff and Prosecutor, among others. Get more information on what issues and candidates you'll see on the ballot on Tuesday on our website. The University of Findlay will be celebrating the legacy of James Houdeshell, a revered figure in the University of Findlay community who passed away on March 2nd, leaving behind a legacy that spans decades. In 1955, Houdeshell assumed pivotal roles at the university, serving as an assistant professor, athletic director, and head coach for football, basketball, and baseball. His remarkable achievements led to his induction into the Findlay College Athletic Hall of Fame in 1975. Houdeshell went on to have a remarkable 60-year career at Findlay College and the University of Findlay. His memorial service will be held on Saturday. Get more details in this story on our website. Officials are recommending staying off the roads during the upcoming total solar eclipse on April 8th, but they have some tips if driving is necessary.
AAA says to pay attention to others around you.
Pedestrians at that point are going to be looking at the sky. They're not going to be so much paying attention to the road around them, the cars around them. You as a driver want to be hyper vigilant.
WTOL 11's Amanda Fay reporting. Raising Cane says it's aiming at Tuesday, March 19th as the grand opening for its first Findlay restaurant. The restaurant is located in front of the Findlay Village Mall on Tiffin Avenue. Raising Cane says it doesn't hold back on its grand opening celebrations and says it will be a fun time. The Findlay Police Department will have officers on site to help with traffic control. Get more information in the story on our website. And remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Now we get to our cover story this morning from the Health and Medical File. A few months back, right around the end of last year, Blanchard Valley Health System added a new way to make mammograms less uncomfortable. They may not be any less of an unpleasant subject for many women, but at least it will be a little less uncomfortable. And hopefully, thus removing one more barrier that keeps many women from the care that they need. We are joined this morning by Jill Janes. She is Director of Imaging at Blanchard Valley Health System. So, Jill, explain what is new with this, you know, what you've added or what has changed about the traditional mammogram.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Chris. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Many women avoid getting that yearly mammogram once they're over the age of 40 due to what they've heard are is uncomfortable or there's a discomfort. Yeah. We know we need to compress the breast in order to spread it out to look at the tissue clearly. The traditional paddle to press and compress that breast is a flat paddle. Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate that all three of our locations have a new technology called the Smart Curve Paddle. And it makes complete sense. The breast isn't flat. We know we need to flatten and compress the tissue, but we could do it in such a way with this new technology that the paddle is curved and it's more around the contour of the breast. We still compress. Mm-hmm. We still make sure we can see all the detail of the breast.
Yeah.
We just do it now in a way that's more comfortable, and we hope, to your point, we remove that barrier of the fear of getting that mammogram.
So when I first heard about this, my first thought was, well, this is a no-brainer. Why did it take so long to come up with this idea? Is that what it was? I mean, just somebody had the light bulb go on and say, hey, maybe we can do this better? Or was there some sort of technological advancement that was necessary to make this possible?
Well, the fear was that if you change the contour of the paddle, you'll reduce the ability to flatten out the breast. Mm. So there had to be a lot of technology involved to have the contour of the paddle be just right to relieve some of the discomfort, yet allow us to compress the breast enough to make sure we still have that good quality. So it took some time with the science to get the right contour to the paddle.
And I know in recent years, there has been some discussion about mammograms themselves and whether this continues to be the best way to detect cancers of the breast. There was some discussion. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, should we be doing MRI imaging as well? Are mammograms still the gold standard?
Absolutely. Yes, mammograms are still the gold standard for patients that are not high risk or they do not have signs or symptoms, meaning I don't feel a lump when I do my self-breast exam. I'm not having any sort of issues. If you are over 40 and you want to have that early detection, the screening mammogram is the best and gold standard to start with. Again, if you need higher end imaging because you're higher risk or you have some sort of clinical sign, then you would maybe not only just start with a mammogram, but you may do a mammogram, an ultrasound, and you may even move to an MRI of the breast or, God forbid, a breast biopsy. But the yearly mammogram over the age of 40 should be a screening mammogram.
So that's what I was going to say. When I was going to ask, when are other forms of imaging indicated for, you know, whom and in what circumstances?
Yeah, so when you have a screening mammogram and it's your routine screening, you either have a clear screening mammogram and you get to wait for another year, mm-hmm. or if they see something that's slightly suspicious, they'll bring you back and do a condensed visualization of that specific area, and that's a little more detailed mammogram of just that area. Mm-hmm. If they're still not able to decide whether or not there is something there, they'll move to ultrasound. Sometimes an ultrasound will pick up tissue that looks different than the other tissue within the breast. If you go to an MRI, that's like the third step. Mm-hmm. And there could be other reasons you do the MRI of the breast, but it's not the typical pathway to just go right to an MRI.
I see. So again, the big news is that, like we were saying, the goal is to make this less uncomfortable, something that women maybe dread less. I mean, again, it's not something that anyone looks forward to, but it is one of those necessary things that you can make a little less uncomfortable. And as you mentioned, this is available at all of these screening centers at within the Blanchard Valley Health System.
That's correct. We have Easterwoods Outpatient Center here in Findlay, Ohio. We have the same offerings at Bluffton Hospital in Bluffton, Ohio, and Ottawa Diagnostic Center in Ottawa. So we have three locations that are convenient for wherever you live. And I want to add that, you know, as women, we set goals for our family. We set goals personally for our career. I really want to stress the women to take the time for themselves and to make this a priority and put it on that list of goals to get that screening mammogram scheduled. And you can schedule that mammogram by calling 419-423-5323.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the annual routine, because again, the mammogram is important, but also, as you were alluding to, the self-examinations and so on are important as well. So kind of lay out the routine that women should follow with respect to being on the alert for breast anomalies.
Yeah, we really encourage the young woman, you know, once that they are in that teenage years and beyond, to start breast self-exams, to be aware of the breast and the breast tissue. We encourage at the age of 20 to start the clinical breast exams with your physician, and at the age of 40, a screening mammogram. Now, when we perform a screening mammogram, we also offer a clinical breast exam. So that's something unique about us. We'll perform that clinical breast exam prior to the mammogram. So if you haven't had one or your provider hasn't performed one, we actually do offer that prior to performing that screening mammogram, which is really important. And we go over, you know, if someone has questions, how do I perform a self-breast exam?
Well,
what are the things I should be looking for?
Yeah.
We'll provide that education as well.
And important to do those self-examinations on a regular basis, because it's hard to detect something that is off if you don't know what what normal feels like, you know, so.
Yeah, you're going to be the best judge or the best person to know what is normal. You know your body better than anyone else. So starting those self-breast exams are really important. So you say, that's normal. And then maybe at one point you go, I'm not sure that was there before, or I don't think this feels normal.
Yeah.
So you know your body better than anyone else.
Again, Jill Janes is Director of Imaging, Blanchard Valley Health System, as we mentioned, now with a way to make mammograms a little less uncomfortable and less unpleasant for women to get those regular screenings that they absolutely need, maybe removing one of those additional barriers. And we've got a link up on our webpage for more information from BVHS all about mammograms and breast health. And Jill, thanks very much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Well, less than a month out now from the total solar eclipse. As everyone knows by now, it's the first one in more than 200 years in Northwest Ohio, and the last one for 75 more. So as we continue our countdown to what is literally a once-in-a-lifetime event, we are joined by WTOL 11 Chief Meteorologist Chris Vickers. And Chris, how cool has it been? I know you've been, you know, part of the run-up in all of this and speaking to a lot of people in a lot of different communities throughout the WTOL viewing area. How cool has it been to see the way Northwest Ohio has kind of embraced this?
Well, good morning to everybody. Absolutely. Great to be along with you. When we talk about an event of this magnitude, we could really truly say that it's once in a lifetime. So, you know, we've been to various communities across Northwest Ohio, whether we're talking to, you know, kindergarten classrooms, first or second graders, or, you know, retirement communities. We feel this sense of excitement of something that's going to be occurring in our area that has never happened in our lifetime, something that we very much hope we're going to be able to see coming up on April 8th of next month. So we're looking forward to it. We're so excited for it. And, you know, the total solar eclipse is just going to be something that if we have ideal conditions, I can promise you this, it will take your breath away in what we're able to see.
So when you talk to these groups, and again, you know, everyone from kindergartners to retirees, what are some of the questions that you hear that people are wondering about in terms of the science of what we're going to see?
Well, you know, first thing, safety, too, because, you know, a lot is going out there on, you know, proper and having adequate solar glasses and solar filters for cameras. Can I take a picture with my iPhone? And the answer is, you really shouldn't, because, you know, if you're going to be exposing, you know, your camera to the direct sunlight, you know, it's never a good idea. It could burn out the camera, could ruin the camera,
right.
Your own eyes, and having the proper protection and proper solar glasses. I know those solar glasses are a hot commodity. We want to make sure that people are getting them from reputable places that have the proper ISO certification to them. To random questions about, you know, people asking about, you know, what are animals going to do and how are they going to react during the total solar eclipse? And will we see unusual things? And the answer to that is, yeah, you might see unusual things. You know, the crickets may start chirping, you know, birds of prey might start to come out thinking it's evening or night and start to feed. You know, the deer could come out. Various animals may act differently. Maybe it's your own pet, your cat or your dog, just due to the sensation of darkness falling at that point in the afternoon, may start to think it's dinner time for them and act a little bit unusual. So I believe there's going to be many things. And I always encourage people during the eclipse, and especially during totality, make sure that you observe your environment as well.
Yeah.
You know, do the streetlights come on? Do the car headlights come on? What unusual things might you see at that time?
Well, and I've heard it said, and maybe you can kind of shed some light on this. Again, it would talk about everything that will actually happen during this time of totality. Yes, the sun is going to disappear, and that's, you know, the highlight of it, but the stars may come out. We may see kind of almost a sunset type of effect. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's really what we're looking forward to the most. So let's say we've got ideal crystal clear conditions during the time of totality. And that is everything when we're talking a total solar eclipse. The difference of being in totality versus partial eclipse is absolutely everything, because you're able to not only experience the full effect of the eclipse, but you are in a very rare point on Earth where the entire surface of the sun is covered by the moon. That gives you an opportunity to view the sun's corona. Now, that is the outer atmosphere of the sun that really can only be seen otherwise with special equipment or instrumentation. And at the time of totality, can actually be seen without solar glasses on, and it can be viewed with just the eye alone. Now, I'll caution that and say that you must know exactly when you're in totality,
right,
and have that specific time. And it varies for different communities across Northwest Ohio, most of them occurring between 3:10 and 3:15 p.m. on April 8th. So it's within that five-minute window. It varies, and it comes right across our listening area here. I mean, we are the absolute center line of this total solar eclipse.
Yeah.
And under ideal conditions, we're going to have some of the longest times to view totality during this whole entire event. So really looking forward to that.
And as you mentioned, normally you can't see the corona absent some very specialized equipment. Obviously, centuries ago, when we first learned about the corona of the sun, we didn't have those that equipment. So, you know, astronomers in the early days of the science really depended on solar eclipses to learn more about the universe. Is that still true today? I mean, are there things that we can still learn in a solar eclipse, or do we pretty much have this down?
Absolutely. Every event, especially with one that is this rare, offers opportunities for us to learn new things and to detect new things. And it could be, you know, larger scale things, but it could also be smaller scale things. And I'll link it to more what I do in my profession right now, that some of our computer modeling now has the ability to ingest data that would show how the eclipse of the sun on April 8th would be impacting our weather that day. Very minute changes in the amount of solar radiation that we're obviously going to be getting into the area through the afternoon could actually result in, and will result in, temperature dips throughout the course of the afternoon. It just changes in our weather as well. We now have the ability to take that information and incorporate it into our weather computers and our weather models. It would give us more accurate weather forecast on how that day may be shaping out through the course of, you know, the evening. So small scale things and large scale things.
It's not really necessarily going to affect the weather dramatically, you know, aside from, you know, a drop in the temperature. Obviously, if the sun goes away, you're going to see, you know, you're going to feel a drop in the temperature. But other than that, it's not going to really impact the weather per se, is it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, there will be noteworthy, you know, changes. There's been, you know, reports in certain circumstances and instances that during totality, you know, the temperature can drop 6, 8, even up to 10 degrees.
So
depending
noticeable.
On how that day feels,
yeah.
It will be noticeable.
Yeah.
It will be noticeable. It, we compare it to about 20 minutes after the sun sets. So
okay.
About 20 minutes after twilight is what it may appear like during totality and almost what it may feel like when you lose that sun. It starts to get fairly chilly quite quickly into the evening.
Now, obviously, the best show, we're going to get the best show if the skies are clear. We know that in early April in Northwest Ohio, there's a fair chance that's not going to happen. What is the likelihood that we're going to have these ideal conditions?
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed. I can tell you that. We're going to hope for great weather, but climatology for early April is not on our side, unfortunately. Generally speaking, it's usually over a 60% chance that we'll have mostly cloudy skies or overcast conditions, which is going to put the chance of having sunshine or partly or mostly sunny skies at less than 40% chance. Now, many of us may remember this. If you remember April 8th of 2023, exactly 1 year out, it was a brilliant, beautiful, sunny day. Prior years, we've had some clouds and rain, so we could get just about anything. And some may even remember back in 2016, Chris, dare I say it, it snowed.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's April 8th. It's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. But even if, you know, we have overcast skies, it's going to get dark. I mean, we're going to have that sensation in the middle of the day, right?
Right. There will be some noticeable differences. Absolutely. It would, the darkness would be a very noteworthy impact and probably the largest impact that you would see. It's just unfortunate that if it is cloudy, our so-called makeup rainout date, it's been scheduled for 2099.
Yeah, we'll only have to wait another 75 years. Really looking forward.
Right.
We're looking forward to it. And again, talking about some of what we can expect aside from the obvious as we count down to April 8th. WTOL 11 Chief Meteorologist Chris Vickers with us this morning. Chris, thanks very much for taking some time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to be with you guys. Take care. Looking forward to talking with you guys soon.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
They have a problem at the New Orleans Police Department. The newly picked head of the New Orleans PD is painting a bleak picture of the department's headquarters. Chief Ann Kirkpatrick says rats have invaded the evidence room and have eaten all of the marijuana. She said they're in there getting high. Telling city council that on a visit, she noticed all the rodents seemed to be intoxicated. The rats are getting high, eating all of the marijuana in the evidence room. Police leadership is pleading for additional funding to move the department to a new location. One idea that is being discussed are a few floors of a high-rise across from the Caesars Superdome. But they have a rat. The rats are invading the New Orleans Police Department and eating all of the marijuana. They're very chill rats. Oh, but yuck. That is not the only thing that's weird that's going on in the state of Louisiana. I saw this story from Port Allen, Louisiana. A lawsuit has been filed after contractors there demolished the wrong home. Apparently, a demolition crew was hired to tear down a condemned house there in Port Allen, but they got the address wrong, and that left a senior citizen homeless. They knocked down his home. Oh, wow. Apparently, There is a lawsuit pending. I don't know how much the damage is being asked for, but I think this is probably an open and shut case. The suit is asking for damages for demolishing the wrong home. Weird things going on in the bayou. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, prison breaks are not necessarily unusual. They don't happen every day, but certainly it's something that happens from time to time. Normally, however, they involve inmates trying to get out, not people trying to get in. 42-year-old Cody Bellamy has been charged in a very puzzling breaking and entering case involving the Standish Correctional Facility in Michigan, which closed in 2009. Police responding to an alarm at the former prison facility, though, around 11:30 in the evening this past Sunday, allegedly found a glass door at the administration building smashed, and they spotted Mr. Bellamy wandering around in the administration building of the closed prison. Investigators don't seem to know exactly why Mr. Bellamy decided to break into the prison, but several items were found in his car, including an unregistered firearm, some cash, burglary tools, and some stolen jewelry. I don't know if he felt guilty and he just decided to break himself into jail. Anyway, he reportedly told police that he just wanted to walk around and take a look, but investigators aren't buying the story. He certainly got a look behind bars, but probably not the way he intended. He was housed at an open and operating correctional facility, and he faces multiple charges. So that's what you get for trying to break into prison. That's last time he'll do that, I guess. From the international file, the broken news. This is how you know you're having a bad day. In a village in the UK, Great Gonnerby. It's actually the name of a village in the UK, Great Gonnerby. Apparently, certainly in the UK, they're famous for their frequent rain showers. It's a very rainy country. But residents in this village have been dealing with another kind of shower that they certainly do not want. According to a report from the BBC, flocks of starlings, numbering in the tens of thousands, have been flying over the village for weeks, and it's not the birds themselves that bother the locals, but rather the bucket loads of bird droppings that have been raining down on everything. Tens of thousands of birds are doing their business, and one resident of the village says that his daughter can't really touch the railing that they installed. Her daughter is blind. They can't touch the railing they installed for her because every time we're touching it, we're getting bird poo on our hands. Kids can't go outside and play in their backyards or in playgrounds. Another villager says the gathering of birds often draws a crowd of unsuspecting people who like to take pictures until they experience the pitter-patter of poo. They got to do something about the birds. There, this is for the birds. That's, yeah, right. Let's see. A Texas man, back on this side of the pond. A Texas man is in trouble with the law after allegedly posing as a paralegal and a car salesman to scam victims out of more than $21,000. Apparently, Jesus Lopez impersonated a car salesman at an automobile dealership and took a $1,500 deposit on a vehicle, posing as a car salesman. When the customer returned later in the day to pick up his new car, he discovered that Mr. Lopez didn't actually work there, and his deposit was gone. Then not too many weeks later, Mr. Lopez allegedly posed as a paralegal who met a client seeking a divorce at a Burger King restaurant. Now, that should be your first clue. If your divorce lawyer is meeting you at a Burger King, there may be something funny going on. Mr. Lopez, upon meeting with the client, asked for funds to initiate divorce proceedings. Mr. Lopez may have also met with another client to help her bail her son out of jail. Mr. Lopez himself arrested this past Friday, and police urged the public to be wary of such scams. Again, if you're meeting with your attorney at a Burger King restaurant, you're probably... Yeah. And finally, in the broken news this morning, speaking of scams, a woman who exploited a glitch at a gas station pump in Nebraska has been charged with theft. Dawn Thompson, age 45, is accused of exploiting a software update at this particular gas station's pumps that inadvertently allowed rewards card users to enter the pump into demo mode and pump gas for free. This is according to a police report. The gas station's loss prevention manager discovered that Ms. Thompson's card had been used 510 times over the course of several months. It is estimated that over 70 or nearly 7,500 gallons of gasoline were pumped using that card over that time, and without being paid for. The manager estimates the average cost of gas to be about $3.75 a gallon. So that is a total loss of nearly $28,000. Apparently, Ms. Thompson would loan the card out for a fee. She'd charge people to use her card so that they could pump gas for free. She advertised it as discounted fuel. And then when the glitch was fixed and the card no longer worked, she sold the card to an unsuspecting man who didn't know that the glitch had been fixed. She got one more scam in once the glitch was taken care of. She was arrested earlier this month, and she is set for a court hearing on April 11th. But that's... Wow! There you go! Wow! Some of the odd and unusual side of the headlines. That is today's broken news report. And with that, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchak. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit wearebroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. So if you are away from home for a time, maybe you have a business trip or what have you, for whatever reason, if you and your spouse or significant other are separated for a period of time, do you think that your partner misses you when you're gone? You may want to think again. According to a new survey of 2,000 adults, 36% of Americans say they actually appreciate it when their better half is not home. 36%, more than one-third, actually appreciate it when their spouse or significant other isn't around. And one of the main reasons for that is because that when their partner isn't around, they don't have to share a bed. 82% of those in the survey say that their partner's sleeping habits wake them up and cause them not to be able to get a good night's sleep. Some of the top disruptive habits include snoring, scrolling through their phone or their tablet, being on their device while you're in bed, getting up multiple times during the night, and hogging the covers. Those are the big offenses that lead your partner to not be able to get a good night's sleep. That's one of the reasons why you see a growing trend of married couples actually sleeping in separate bedrooms these days. 21% of those in the survey who share a bed with their partner believe that at some point in the future, they may sleep in separate rooms because of this. It's so bad. Experts say, though, a sleep divorce isn't the only way to improve the quality of your sleep. Investing in a good quality mattress, pillows, and bedding made of comfortable and supportive materials can improve sleep for you and your partner. So there are things you can do, but wow. But you remember those old commercials for Florida orange juice with the tagline, "It's not just for breakfast anymore"? Well, it's true. And in honor of National Nutrition Month this morning, we have some fresh new ideas using fresh orange juice that are both delicious and healthy from registered dietitian Lauren Cornell, who joins us on the line now. Lauren, you say that this is one of the easiest ways to support our overall health, right?
Yeah. So I think the easiest way to approach, boosting your health is, as a registered dietitian, I'm always trying to find ways that I can sneak in nutrient-dense foods and beverages into my patients' diets or the individuals that I work with. And Florida orange juice is a wonderful way to do that. So 100% orange juice delivers tons of vitamins and minerals that we need, like vitamin C, potassium, folate, thiamine. If you're drinking a fortified juice, then you're also going to get some vitamin D. These are all nutrients that our body needs.
So how does this benefit our immune system? I think this is something we've always heard. Explain kind of the science behind this.
Yeah, absolutely. So the vitamins and minerals that I mentioned that orange juice contains they all happen to be nutrients that support the immune system function. And then research shows that people who drink 100% OJ may have higher intakes of these vitamins and minerals, along with higher diet quality overall compared to people who do not consume orange juice. So this statistic in itself suggests that orange juice is an important complement to our whole fruit in a healthy diet and supporting our immune system function.
Now, most of us, when we think orange juice, we think, typical breakfast drink or really any time, straight out of the glass. But you actually have some ways that we can incorporate orange juice into, other recipes to enjoy it all the time in many different ways.
Yeah, so absolutely. So you mentioned it just not just as a drink. One of my favorite recipes that we do have on our website, which is floridajuice.com, is a drink. So it's Florida orange juice and cranberry spritzer. It's very easy to make and the whole family can enjoy it. It's 2 cups of Florida OJ, 2 cups of cranberry juice, and then 1 2/3 cups of elderflower sparkling drink. And if the adults want to make it into a fun cocktail, maybe to enjoy, a spring brunch with friends or something, you can throw your favorite spirit in there. We also have Florida OJ Sunburst Smoothie, which is delicious and would be a really great breakfast alternative or maybe an afternoon pick-me-up. The Florida OJ No-Bake Protein Balls are also incredible. They are a great snack. They're also a really nice sweet treat. And then we have the couscous. It's an orange couscous with cinnamon vinaigrette. It's a fantastic side dish. I like it to do it with as a lunch and just add protein to the top of it. So a couple of different recipes like that on our website and on social media as well, which is just Florida orange juice.
Boy, that is some great stuff and a way to incorporate lots of good things in there with the couscous.
Ingredients.
Yeah. And again, those are on the website.
Yes, the website is floridajuice.com. Those are also going to be on our social media channels, which can be found at Florida Orange Juice.
So we will have a link there on our webpage for more information. And, we mentioned this in the context of National Nutrition Month, but of course, this is important stuff year round. So let's not forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we call Florida orange juice the original wellness drink for a reason. It's nutrient dense and can absolutely be enjoyed year round.
Again, Lauren Cornell is a registered dietitian for the Florida Department of Citrus with us this morning. Once again, mention the website where folks can find all of those recipes and other ideas.
Sure. It's floridajuice.com.
Very good. We will link that up on our webpage. Lauren, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that, of course, goodmornings.net. So be sure to check us out online. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss the bill in Congress that could get TikTok banned in the U.S., a measure that came out of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, of which Representative Bob Latta is a senior member. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.